I want to read some from the book of Jeremiah. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Chapter 18, the first verse, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I pronounce turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come, and let us devise against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away the wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. And let their wives be bereaved of their children and the widow and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive me their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. I was talking yesterday to my wife, and I mentioned this to some of the brethren. The people here in the United States of America, they really have a paradise. They don't realize it, but they are living in paradise. They have everything that heart could wish for. Listening to a little bit of a testimony yesterday, some lady was giving it. I was in and out of the house, just heard it into bits and pieces, but listening to it, the things that she went through with, the things that she experienced, the problems, the heartaches, the miseries, the sorrows, the conditions that she lived under is just unbelievable. And yet, she experienced all of this willingly for God. At the time of her experience with God among the Indian people in this particular place, foreign country, it was the time of the war when the Japanese people came in and took over, and they so brutally entreated the people It was such a horrible situation. Having come out of Japan a few days back, meeting the people, seeing the air of the people, even being served by the people, you could not imagine anybody being so horrible as the Japanese people one time was. They've made such a change, and one of the great lords have died over there just recently, which will bring about a greater change. But this woman was telling her experience, and every little bit she'd stop and weep because it was such an overwhelming thing that she experienced in her life. She'd been a Christian since about 9 years old, and doing this excruciating thing that she was going through, she had a chance to witness to one of the greats among the Japanese people. But I thought about that, and I thought about the things that we have here, how blessed we are. I want you to know I'm glad to have you here this morning. I appreciate you coming. I see my granddaughter here, Michelle, and I've been praying quite a bit for her to come and be with us, and I see her here. I don't know whether her companion is here with her or not, but I've really been praying for her to come, and it really warms my heart to see her here and to see you here. I see Brother Arthur here this morning. Appreciate Brother Arthur being with us. The Lord bless you, Arthur. And I see David and his wife here this morning. We're glad to have them and their little family. Appreciate the different ones. Some of you come from a long ways to be with us, and you come with a consistency. And I really appreciate it. I thank God for every one of you. But I wish you'd consider my words this morning as to being blessed the way that you are. Somebody asked me a question yesterday as to the faith of Christ or as to the activeness of God in one's life. And I related just one little incident from this woman's life that I heard going through such a terrible ordeal. One day she had said she just wished that she just had one banana. And she kind of mumbled to herself as to say, "But Lord, I know there's no way to get a banana." I believe it was the next day, perhaps, that they'd had her in a confrontation, brought her back. The custom was to bow to the leaders or the soldiers or whoever it was in charge. She forgot to do it, so when she realized that she forgot to do it, it terrorized her because she felt like she didn't have the strength to go back anymore to a confrontation. And she heard the return of the soldiers. She could hear the footsteps as they were coming back. And she said she knew that they were coming to get her, to take her back, you know, because she failed to do what she was supposed to do. So she asked God to strengthen her, and as God strengthened her, she sat waiting for them to come in to take her. But to her utter amazement, they came in with bananas, and they left 92 bananas with her. Can you imagine that? 92 bananas. She said she was so tore up that she said, "God, I can't eat these bananas." After saying what I did about God not being able to give her bananas, you know, or looking in that way, she said she just felt like she couldn't eat those bananas. But I answered the individual like that because I was just saying to the individual that God cares. God cares. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He cares. He's very much concerned about your desire and what you want. Very much concerned. But folks, when we're skeptical, when we are going about to try to injure others, when we're trying to conjure up something, to tell others to kill the move of God or to destroy God's people, when we're trying to do those things, then God cannot look down and see a pure heart. And God cannot look down into our life and see anything as to an advantage for Him. Because it's very obvious that when we do those things that we're of the devil. And that we are cunningly working things as to our own device. And Satan is using us to destroy the work of God and God's people. Or to create a problem that would make a barrier between God and His people. And this, of course, when people do this, then we automatically know what they are and who they are, because a child is known by his doings. But when we find people who try to build up the things of God and work toward the things of God and encourage people to believe in the things of God, and when we point toward the Christian, the real, genuine Christians, people who are telling the truth and doing something for God, and we magnify and we pick them up and we exalt them, giving double honor to them, honor to all people, but double honor to them that labor in the Lord, and esteeming people, but esteeming those that labor in the Lord worthy of double honor because they are laboring in the Lord. And then, as the Bible says, to lift them up and esteem them very highly for their work's sake. See, this is when God can bless us. This is when our faith begins to burn like a flame. And this is when things begin to move in our lives and we begin to know that God is with us. And this, of course, is what God was upset with Israel about, is because Israel had turned away from that. He took Jeremiah down to the potter's house. You've heard me speak of going down to the potter's house while I was in Israel, watching this very thing take place. And I saw the man mar a vessel. I saw a man, the man make a vessel unto perfection. It was beautiful. And the other was set aside. It was all marred, unbecoming. And God said, Jeremiah, go tell Israel my feelings toward them and let them know that I'm the potter and they're the clay. Brother Taylor sings that song a lot of times, the potter and the clay. I am the potter and that you're the clay. Go tell Israel. See, why would he want to tell Israel? Why not just say, you know, this is a rebellious people and get rid of them? Why not just destroy them like he said to Moses? Moses, just step aside. I'll destroy all of them. I'll just do away with them. Why would God want to bother with people? You know, he could say to Brother Pike, Brother Taylor, he could say to the people of Little Bethlehem, away with you. I don't want anything to do with you. And he's make him more people. As a matter of fact, he told them when they went into Jerusalem, some of them were shouting and screaming, Hosanna to the King. Glory to God. And some of them that was there said, you need to hold your peace. You don't need to say these things. You're making too much fuss over him. And he said, if they held their peace, these rocks would cry praise unto me. He said, for God is able to raise up children to praise me from these rocks. See, so why would he mess with us? Why does he bother with us? I never will forget the vision. I've related it to you many times. Walking down this little road, as I walk down this little dirt road, beautiful little road, a beautiful place. Over to the right, beautiful trees. Over a little further, huge boulders, great, huge boulders. And I remember walking down there, and all of a sudden the Lord appeared before me. And I saw him as he just appeared, just come out like a little spark of light, and he just come right out of it. And I beheld him there, and I was looking at him. I was so fascinated. I couldn't get my eyes off of him. I just couldn't get my eyes off of him. And as I watched him, he come closer and closer, and I came closer and closer. And I was just so fascinated. I was spellbound, like I'd been charmed by some great, mighty power that I couldn't see or understand. All over me, I could feel it. And I was in the control of it. I never will forget that all of a sudden, that unseen force struck me, picked me up, put me down on my face. And the trees just prior to me bowing before him, I saw as that force moved toward me, I saw the trees bow down before him. This unseen force actually made the trees do obeisance unto him. And I saw the huge boulders that a man couldn't pick up. And I saw them jump up like there was a spring under them and leave the socket of the ground. And I saw them jump up and roll over like that and do obeisance unto him. I saw the rocks do that. And I said that again to say this. That's the way it is, folks. When this power of God gets a hold of you, this spirit of God gets a hold of you, you're going to do obeisance. It doesn't matter if you're a wretch, if you're a murderer. It doesn't matter what you are. You can be a liar, a cheat, swindler, whatever. But the Bible says, as I live, saith God, every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. And John said, in heaven I heard thousands and tens of thousands And in the earth I heard them, and under the earth 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." See, so we're going to do obeisance. But here, Israel, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't even have to go to them. God could have just destroyed them. But they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. They wanted to do their own thing. And it is said here, because of that, he said, "I've devised evil against you." God created the good. He created the evil. He has his way in both. Works all things after the counsel of his own will. He said, any time that a nation is doing evil and they listen to the ministry, they listen to my word, I will repent of the evil that I've devised against them. He said, and I won't do evil to them. And this is why he sends a preacher. Because he loves you. He doesn't want to do evil to you. He doesn't want anything to happen to you. This is why he sends a preacher. He wants you to be clean. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be godly and upright. Isn't that right? He's trying to save you from death. Why did you come to church this morning? You came to church to hear the gospel. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Some of you did. Like a man, I picked up his spirit. He didn't come to hear. He come to save. And I knew when I didn't let him say that he wouldn't be with me anymore in spirit. But you come to hear. Some of you come to hear. Some of you come for a few minutes to sit so that you could slip out when you catch my head turn. Like a couple that's sitting here. They've been practicing filth between the two. And the girl is under such heavy condemnation, she can't hardly stand it. The boy is trying to have a bold face. The girl can't hardly take it. And because of that, God is moving a little bit, and they're just waiting for their chance, because they realize what they've got their foot into. Well, let me tell you something. God knows your heart, and God knows your life, and God knows what you're doing. God sees on the inside of you. It's like a man sitting here, that one fellow, every time I get around him, when I'm out yonder somewhere, he's always talking to me, and he really believes in this, and he loves this, and he believes that I'm of God, and he believes that I'm a minister. But he's very crafty. He's always trying to say something to trap me in my words, to catch me with what he would call guile, or to prove his point as to his carnal mind, which is enmity with God. All the time getting his foot into it, and he's caught with guile. And he's the one that suffers the loss, and he's the one that suffers the problem. He's the one that suffers the poverty, and he's the one that's in trouble. See, I just said that to you to say that God doesn't have to look on Brother Pike. He doesn't have to run me down. He doesn't have to search after me. God doesn't have to do that. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need me at any time. But God is trying to help me. Someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I'm the one that sought after God. I'm the one that's looking for God. I'm the one that's trying to find God." Thank you. You're not seeking after God. You're not searching after God. You haven't tried to find God. The Bible said you've not sought me. There's never been a time a man ever sought God. God sought you. He said, "I've sought you. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've sought you. You've not sought me." Someone would say, "But I know I go to God. I know I pray. I know I live right, Brother Pike." But let me tell you something. All because he is drawing you. Because his spirit draws that worship out of you. Draws that desire out of you. Draws you to him. To where you will do that thing. But there was a time when nothing drawed you to God. And you didn't come to God. You went your own willful way, and as the Bible said, every man is turned to his own way. Every man went after his own thing, and there's none good, no, not one, not the preacher, not the laity, or anybody else. All went to their own way, and God came down in a human form and in a fleshly body and died and gave his blood freely that he might draw you and I to him. So then we're drawn, as Paul said, "The love of God constraineth me." I worship God. I pray to God. I fast to God. I give praises unto God. All because he draws it out of me. All because he draws it out. Some of us say, well, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said all of the spiritual things are understood by the natural things. Look at the trees. There's trees all around. During the summertime, they're beautifully green. And they produce fruits. And they are much alive. Why are they alive? Because the sun is drawing the sap out of the ground through that taproot coming right up through those limbs and through that tree. God is drawing that out of them. He's keeping them alive and he's drawing that out of them. The clouds that we see around in heaven, the condensed water that comes up through that tree, the heat draws it out, brings it up, condenses it up here. See, this is as a glory unto the heavens, but it is the sunlight that drawed it out. The tree didn't do anything. As the proof of that, just as quick as the sun hides itself, down goes the sap and the tree loses the life. Unless it is a special made thing that God has allowed to be there in the earth that is made of God, that it doesn't change seasons like the evergreens, which are Christians, as we would say, in their type. So then, aside from that, that the others die just as quick as the sun's gone. That means that we're not following after God only to the extent that he's drawing our love and our attention. And it's by the wooing of the Spirit that I am alive, that I'm kept alive. So we don't have anything to boast of. Where is boasting then, Paul said? Who can boast? This was his confrontation with the Jewish people. Who can boast? You have the law, none of you keep it. None of you keep it. He said, where is the righteous? There is none. I know not of any. There's none. There's none that is righteous, no, not one. All of them have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way, to his own thing to do. And you know, it's bad to the extent that a lot of people that are very religious that supposedly are Christians, and some of them are Christians, they get kind of wobbly sometimes, and they get more interested in the things of the world and the things of the flesh than they do God. They'd rather go to a cafe than come to the church. They'd rather eat the natural food and drink rather than having that experience with God and that fellowship with God and eating of the hidden manna from God. They'd rather eat than to have the wonderful knowledge of God. The Bible said, now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to that that's in the heavenly places. But a lot of people, they'd rather have the natural things of life. I'd rather eat the spiritual things. I'd rather let you go to the cafe. I'd rather let you go do the things of the world. I'd rather be with God and hear that small, still voice. That voice that keeps telling me over and over those wonderful mysteries of God that keeps unveiling the mystery. I could just stay on. I get into those things and I don't care about eating. If I could just stay in that environment, I wouldn't care if I never eat anymore. When I get into that kind of condition, I don't care where I ever see anybody anymore. I'm in a state of mind, when I'm like that, that I don't care if the whole world falls in, if everybody leaves, everything's gone. I just want to stay right there with him, like Moses, 80 days and night, right there in the environment of God. I want to do that. See, and if you ever do come into the place that I've come into, you'll want to do it too. It's like Jesus. They said he's beside himself. Well, he won't even eat. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So then they said he's beside himself because he wasn't hungry. He wasn't caring. See, he had something that gave strength to the inner man. The Bible said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. See, it doesn't matter what I do. If I do this in the natural, I don't have any reward of God. A lot of times we get misconstrued in our minds. You know, we get frustrated during our lifetime as to think that what we are doing to feed our family, that what we're doing as to be a good neighbor, or if we find a place in society as to being some celebrity, you know, that this is going to be rewarded of God. That God's going to see this and he's going to say that, now this is a fine gentleman here. He is a light among the people. He's got a good name over here, you know, and he belongs to the Sanhedrin as it was in Paul's day. That is, he's got the respect of the upper echelon. So he is everything, because this is what I need in the earth. You know, this professional man, and this professional man, and this professional man, and they can catch the attention of the people, and the church will literally fill up. But folks, let me tell you, there's no reward from God to that. God would rather have an ignorant fisherman that knows nothing about nothing, that will follow him and listen to him. The Bible said not many mighty are called. He doesn't care about the mighty, because he said the rich have their reward. But the poor, they hear the gospel gladly. He's looking for the poor. Somebody would say, you mean that's all he wants is a bunch of poor folks? That's all he wants is a bunch of poor folks. That's all he cares about. The Bible said, and the poor hear him gladly. Somebody said, but what about all them rich folks? He doesn't cut them off. If they want to come, he's willing to receive them. He'll receive them if they'll come. If they'll do right, he'll give them life. But they don't hear him gladly. They have their reward. They have their consolations. They have their heaven as to what they're doing in this earth and the wealth that they have. The poor doesn't have anything but faith. Now, he said, just them poor folks? Why, couldn't he have made you a millionaire instead of making you a pauper? Couldn't he have done that? Couldn't he have made you the great celebrity and made you the president and made you the king and queen instead of making somebody else? The Bible said, I'm the one that raises up kings. I'm the one that raises up these great leaders. I'm the one that puts another one down. David, I've taken thee from among the sheepcote. I'll give thee a name like unto the great men of the earth. I made you a king. Can't God do that if he wants to? All down through the history of mankind, he did it. He let them reign as long as he wanted them to reign. And he got tired of reigning, he took them down. See, God can do that. So he could have made you and I with billions of dollars if he had wanted to do that. But he wanted our heart. And he subjected us to poverty and put us in this position that we would become his people. And we would follow after him. And that if we'd have been out there and God had raised us up and give us all those great things out yonder, even though we might have had a desire to serve God, had we been paupers, yet putting us in that environment, we could have walked off and left God and never followed God. Oh, somebody said, no, Brother Pike, if it's there, it's there, and that's all there is to it. Well, why did the writer say? God said, don't give me too much, or I may forget you. And he said, don't give me too little that I should steal. See, so it makes a lot of difference as to what you've got. Makes a lot of difference as to what your environment is. I go overseas, and there are literally thousands of people that want to hear the gospel because they don't have a lot of things that you have here in America. Thousands of people that are in poverty. Sometimes you may not be able to get to them. But there's thousands of people that want to hear the word of the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful in America if there was people like that? Someone would say, well, I know of thousands of people that would like to hear the gospel. I'll tell you something, folks. There's thousands of people that like to go to church. For social benefits, for all kinds of things, as to fellowship. It's just one social thing in society, just like another thing. They go to church, they don't know nothing about God, they don't care anything about God, they're not searching to understand God, they're not looking for the knowledge of God, they're not interested in the knowledge of God, that's not the reason. The Bible said God is looking for the upright in heart. He is searching for the upright in heart, not something that we conjure up in our minds as something we want to try to do as a religious thing. But he's looking for the upright in heart so that he might show himself strong in their behalf. I want to show myself strong in their behalf. I want to show them what I can do for them. Let them be upright in heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Let the faith of their heart come out and let me do great and mighty things for them. I want to show myself strong in their behalf. I want to give them the desires of their heart. I want to make them rich, and I don't add any sorrow. I want to reprove and rebuke their enemies, that their enemies may come out against them one way and flee seven ways before them. God is looking for the upright in heart. That's why I preach to you the way I do. I preach to you about being upright in heart. And we've got our minds on our faces and our bodies, and we've got our minds on the vain jangling of the world. We've got our mind on buying and selling and having the things of the world. And we've got our mind on education. We've got our mind on each other as human beings. And we're interested in the things of this life. Then that's the devil. For the Bible said, Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh. But when we've got our mind on God, when we've got our mind on the good things, we've got our mind on following after Christ, That's the mind of the Lord. That's the upright in heart. That's the good. So when we got our mind on the world, all these things of the world, God doesn't have any place for us. And we don't have any place for Him. God doesn't need a bastard child. He doesn't need a bastard image. He said, in the morning I'll despise your image. That means according to your first birth, as to what you are right now, in the day of the judgment. When you stand before God, He said, I'll despise you. We think we're handsome. We think we're pretty. We think that we're everything. We do everything to build up this body, to build up the flesh, and to build up the old intellect, and to look toward the things of the world, to get a business, to have prestige, so that we can stand up and say, look at me. And then we want to be religious, and we reach out here, and we get religion with this hand. We get the world with this hand. See, and then we come forth, and we are a great person. So naturally, the world is going to admire us, for the world loveth its own. Naturally, people, whether religious or whatever, they're going to say, now he's got it all together right there. That's the man. That's the man of the hour right there. And so these kind of people boldly go forth, and they lead the people into mischief, whether it is a preacher, whether it is a layman, whatever it might be. And they have great gifts, and they say great things, and they do great things, and they have the people to follow them, and all of a sudden the whole thing caves in on their head because they prophesied a lie, or they have testified a lie, or they've given themselves to lying vanities and the things of the world, and the whole thing caves in. And after a while, people see who is of God and who is not of God, and they see the deceit. In that it's so close, it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But see, it's not possible to deceive the elect. You might throw them off trail, we say, for a little while. You might cause them to be bewildered in their mind for a little while, but after a while, they're going to untangle that thing. And they're going to get it straightened out because God is with them. And the Bible teaches that if you acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, He's going to direct your path. And after a while, He's going to take you down a path of peace. And He's going to bring something to your mind that's not troublesome, but something that is soothing, something that will help you, something that will cause you to feel good and feel at peace because you're following God. There's no peace for the wicked. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't ever feel at peace. That's because you're wicked. That's because you're wicked. You have a wicked mind. You have wicked thoughts. Charity thinketh no evil. There's always an uncertain sound in your ear. And that is, you're going to lose what you got, including your life. But when you are not wicked, when you have God, then everything is wonderful. Everything is soothing. Everything is peaceful. And all of the paths of peace, all of the paths of peace belong to the children of God. And them that are children of peace, they belong to those paths. We walk in the path of peace. We always have peace, even perfect peace, because we keep our minds stayed on Christ Jesus. So then God is looking for the upright in heart. He says to the prophet, go tell Israel, because you've done evil in your heart, you're not straight with me. He said, I've devised evil against you. You've done evil, so I'm going to let you reap evil. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he thinks evil, then he reaps evil. For out of the heart comes forth the issues of life, the daily issues. It's like the little church at Hartwell. The write-up in the Athens paper concerning us, I'm sure that you must have read it. The reporter came over the other night that had written the article. And I'm sure she came for another article. They're looking for some sensation. That's where they make their living. But like the little church there, it pertains as to what we're saying. The Lord had placed it in our hands. I've not sought after it. I thought, well, it's going to be a burdensome thing to me in the sense that I'll have to take some of my people. They'll have to be out of service. We'll have to keep it going until we can get everything established. But, Lord, anything's for you. It's not a burdensome thing. It's a delight. I'll be delighted to do it. We'll go around and finally get around to preaching up there and helping the people. But the people judge themselves unworthy, as it was in the days of Paul. They judged themselves unworthy because they let the little church go down. Nobody to watch after. Nobody to care for it. Left it in the hands of an 80-year-old man, which was not truthful. Even the man lied. And yet the church was in his control. So the Lord worked it out of the hands of them, put it into our hands, and we had a chance to do something with it if the people would respond. But the graveyard in the back, they thought more of it than they did the church. And they began to lie, say things, tell all kinds of things that you wouldn't hardly believe if you heard it, about us down here. And they got together, 100 of them, in a fire station, called the Athens paper, had a reporter to come up there, do a story, so that she would blast us, so they could tear us down. See, because it was the devil, it was the children of the devil. And they'd convene and come together so that they could kill this down here. They'd already killed that church up there. And they felt like they'd kill this one down here. See, that was their motives. That was the motivation of their heart, because they devised evil. As it was devising evil against Jeremiah, there was devising evil against Brother Pike and his people. Well, anyway, I just want to make a point here. So the reporter came out. I told her publicly here, and you heard me, that we would not turn loose the church, would not do anything with it till God spoke to us. Because I was going up there, I was going to rent a building if the Lord led in that direction, and I was going to have a confrontation with them. Call them and let them come out. Let them bring forth their strong reasoning. The Lord dealt with me, and I turned the church back to Dale Clark. He had it. They was going to put in a civil suit against us. But to their utter amazement, they can't put in nothing against us. Though the papers has carried it, though the papers be carrying another article, even to the confounding of the papers or the writers or whatever. God always confounds people. See, the thing is, they counted themselves unworthy. They devised evil against God. So God brought a light into their midst. Just look at a typical thing there where the eternal abundant life has turned on the lights up there. And we're going to turn the lights off because it's not going to be in his name up there anymore. We're going to bring that back down here. See, that is, he went into that area and he gave them a chance. Can you imagine what kind of mischief is going to befall those people? Because the devil with his clan rose up and come against God and stopped the operation of God in that area to the extent that God withdrew and counted them unworthy. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? And it's back in Dale's hand, and Dale, he'll war with them. He made the statement, I'll get my shotgun and I'll go out there and I won't even let them come into the graveyard as to bother with it. I own it, which he does. The Bible shows that he does. And they gave him a quick clean deed on it. Even the lawyer up there that was on our side, the other lawyer, that is. And he said, it ain't nothing but a bunch of gossip. So these people are just gossiping and going on and saying the evil thing. So that's all it is. Even the lawyer said that. Someone would say, well, maybe you're guilty. God raised up somebody to let you know your guilt. Well, let's discuss it just for a moment. I think one of the first accusations is that we took a woman and put a cat on her and sold the cat to her. That was one of the first accusations. Now, whoever's guilty of that, we don't want them around here. We'll clear that out to start with. So we won't be guilty of that. You want me to go a little further now and that you feel like we're getting our just dues? One of the other things was they said we was bad about killing babies and eating them down here. Them kind of people, we want to get them out from here too. Is any such thing? Somebody said, you speak as a fool. Paul said, bear with me a little in my folly. I want to make my point. I'm not a fool. I know who God is. I know that that is the act of a fool. That is the mouth of a fool. And those things that they're saying, that's of the devil. True Christians wouldn't even think like that, let alone say anything like that. And folks, they said other things. That's why even the lawyer could say that that's gossip. He had enough sense in his communication with Brother Dale, Brother Taylor, who had communicated with him before, Brother Clyde, some of whoever was up there. He had enough sense to know that that wasn't the kind of people that we had down here. But you know what it was? It was the devil. Even when the church was given, I thought, here comes trouble. Not of the little church. I know this is trouble. I wouldn't take it, but after a while, I felt I was to do it. And no doubt God did it this way, because in going back to Dale, it's not even in the other man's hand now. None of them has control of it. They did have at least one man that one time had control. Nobody has control of it now but Dale. He can do what he wants to with it. He can sell it. Because it's stated, even the lawyer that they have stated, that it can be given away or sold, because there's nothing in the contract that says it goes back to the original owner. Well, he might just sell it. He's wanting to go to Tennessee anyway. He might not even have anything anymore to fight over. But I'm just saying, this is the way that Israel was. They were religious, these people up there. All of a sudden, 100 people showed a concern supposedly about the church. And when it was searched out, it was about the graveyard and their dead that was buried in the graveyard. 100 people came together. Think what 100 people could have done with that little church up there. If there had been 100 people that had been interested in that, I told the reporter, if there's 100 people interested, I'd certainly like to talk with them if I'm going to have the church. Because that's what we are trying to do, is find the interest of the people. But see, 100 people, and they're interested in the graveyard. And not interested to the extent to keep it up, because it was said that it's run down, it's grown up, the graves are falling in. The fuss was over nobody being allowed to put flowers on the graves. From the way they talked, they'd have problems even finding the grave to put the flowers on. I've been in graveyards where you couldn't even, I've searched, you couldn't even find the grave to put the flowers on. All right. So then, isn't he the potter? And aren't we the clay? We're the clay. He can do with us whatever he wants to. Why does he bother with us? David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He's so little. You've made him much smaller and little than the angels. You've set him over the work of your hands. I don't know why you bother with him. He is rebellious, like the Lord said to Israel. I've not chosen you because you are a great people. You're the smallest of all of them. The nation is very small. He said, I've not chosen you because you are a righteous people. I've not chosen you for that reason. He said, you're very rebellious. I've chosen you for one thing, and that's to make a name for myself. I've chosen you to make a name for myself. This is why I don't understand the church world. The church world fights to name Jesus when it comes to baptizing in the name of Jesus. When it comes to really preaching in the name of Jesus. You know, casting out devils in the name of Jesus. They'll get out there and they'll do anything to get around that and criticize it. You say, well, what is that, Brother Pike, when they do that? They're of the devil when they do that. There might be some little babes that's mixed up. There's some people that's among them that doesn't know any better. I've been caught in it in the past. And they don't know any better until God brings them to light and God won't require it of them. Like Paul, he persecuted the church. He wasted the church. He was blind. He didn't know he was doing that till the voice from heaven said something to him. So I have to reach those people. You have to reach those people. But aside from that, that's the devil. That's the devil and his workers out there. I don't care what kind of church it is. Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, whatever it is. It is of the devil. Very clearly of the devil. The Bible said they have a name that they live, just like Israel did. They've got a name out there that they live. There's all kind of names. There's this name we've got here, Little Bethlehem. There's a name out there, Church of God. There's a name Pentecostal. Holiness is the name. Assemblies is the name. Church of Christ. All kind of Catholic names, whatever. They've got a name that they live. Saying, I'm Church of Christ. That's the name of the living. A name that they live, but the Bible said they're dead. And not only dead, but the Bible said they become a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which means demons and devils. All kind of demons and devils are in there. You understand what I'm saying? All kind of devils and demons. And what is God going to do with them? He's going to burn their fields. He's going to burn them up. Burn their fields. Because they are of the devil. And his work, they're going to do. You know, that was the thing that really moved me when I read where Jesus talked to the Pharisees and scribes. These were supposed to be the religious leaders. And here he is, talking to them in such a way that I couldn't hardly get a hold of it. I thought, now these are the followers of Moses. And Lord, here you are talking to them like that. When in my past, I've said just a few things contrary to those systems out there. And somebody jump up and say, I don't talk against nobody. I ain't going to listen to you because you said something against them. And I thought, a bunch of devils. I was right. There was a bunch of devils. I said, and Jesus is making it plain right here. I said, here is Moses' followers. And he's looking at him and saying, why do you do these things to me? He said, because you're of the devil. He said, your father is the devil. My father is God. Said, Abraham ain't your father. Said, your father's the devil. That's what's wrong with them, folks. That's what's wrong with them. Their father is the devil. They're contrary to the right things. Jesus said, just being religious, that's not enough. If you'd have been following God, if you'd have been following Moses, I sent Moses. He said, you would have loved me because Moses spoke of my coming. See, if them people was of God, they would love the Lord Jesus because that's what it's all about. The prophet spoke of the coming of the Lord and that he'd going to choose a people for his name, that he might be his bride. Someone said, well, I hear them talk about God all the time and the word of God all the time. I know the devil does it all the time. Just like when he quoted Jesus, he quoted the word. He's an excellent Bible scholar. Check his words. You'll find them exactly as a quotation to the Bible. Religious, the Bible said they transformate in their minds into the ministers of light as to the word. Religious, very religious. For Satan himself appears as an angel of light. So then, if they were of God, what would they do? They wouldn't just talk about the things of God. They would stand for the name of Jesus. And the Bible said they that belong to God and the preachers that God sent would speak his word. And what does his word say? Repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, them people are full of the Holy Ghost. Those people are not full of the Holy Ghost. Only those that's caught within the environment of it that doesn't understand, they are worshiping God in their primitive sort of a way. As Paul said when he went up to Mars Hill, said, you're worshiping God. He said, ignorantly worshiping God. He said, this day I declare unto you the God that you ignorantly worship. His name is Jesus. When the Indians danced around the totem pole, they worshiped God. Ignorantly worshiped God, the great spirit. But I declare unto you, his name is Jesus. When the white man came over to America, they declared unto the Indians, his name was Jesus. So then, that means that just being religious, that's not enough. Not enough. You understand what I'm saying? So then he took them to the potter's house. He said, watch, be careful, because you might be made a vessel unto dishonor. Those people might be ever so religious, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. No man can have the Holy Ghost except them that obey the Lord. The Bible says, I give the Holy Ghost to them that obey me. They may be in the rain. They may testify. They may even be like Balaam. They might can see visions and they might do great things. But the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam did not have the Holy Ghost. Besides, it had not yet been given. That's the proof of it. So it was as Saul, murdering his heart, went up to Ramah Gilead, prophesied till they thought he was a prophet. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. It had not yet been given. And so it was down through the years. Judas was just as religious as he could be. Had obtained part of the offices of the 12. He walked with the Lord Jesus. But he was of the devil. Jesus said, I've chosen 12 of you. And one of you is a devil. But he was just as religious as everybody else. They even entrusted the money bag to him. And at the supper, Satan entered into him. You understand what I'm saying? So then, God is looking for the pure, the upright in heart, so that he can show himself strong in their behalf. Would you like to have the desires of your heart? Would you like to have God to deliver you and heal you and make you whole and make you well? Folks, it's no joke. You can have it. It's not something we talk about. You can absolutely have it. It is real. But as long as you and your heart You've got your own way of life. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care whether you think you're a preacher, whatever you think. As long as you've got your own program in your heart, and you're pushing a little bit here and pushing a little bit there to go your way and to do your thing and trying to make life work out to where you can do what you want to do, you know what you're going to do? As long as you do that, you're going to be in trouble, and after a while, you're going to fall headlong and burst asunder in the midst, as it was said of Judas when his entrails or his guts poured out. As it was in the days when Epiphanes offered the sow on the altars of God and desecrated the altars of God, and he burst asunder and his bowels gushed out. So as long as you do that, you're going to have problems. I will do this to you. I will devise evil against you. But if you do right, he'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. As I started to say at the first of the sermon here, I've learned a secret about the enemies. You don't have to have any enemies. Jesus said, Judas, friend. Judas was an enemy. Satan was in him. And he was going to take Jesus to Calvary. And he was going to destroy all that Jesus was going to do. But in everything that Judas did, it only contributed to what Christ was doing. It only worked to his advantage. And everything that Judas did, it brought to pass the wonderful things of God. He was a friend and couldn't help it. He was a friend and couldn't help it. A friend to the extent that though he was not a friend, Jesus said unto him, friend. Not that Judas was a friend to him, but I say again, God was a friend to Judas to allow his foolishness, not take his head off at the beginning, knowing he was a devil. But nevertheless, everything works together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. And everything, whether good or bad, whether it's evil, whatever, God works it to his own way of life. He has his way in it. There are some here this morning that love the Lord. Their mind's not on eating and drinking. It's not on getting out of here, going somewhere. Whereas there's others, their mind is on eating and drinking and getting out of here and going somewhere to do that thing that is of the flesh, to let that flesh go free, like one that's trying to get out of prison. Because when they come in here in the midst of the children of God, these sons of Satan comes and these daughters of Satan comes. Satan is on the inside of them. Whereas if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. And your desire is to your belly. Your labor is for your belly. Your plans and programs for your belly. And you're imprisoned. When you come into this audience, then the Spirit of God, the same thing that I felt, picked me up, put me down on my face, that great environment of God, that superpower begins to put you in prison, and you are at arrest. And you can't do anything. You know why? Because you're a creature of darkness. And when light comes, you'll find the old hoot owl sitting on a limb. I've seen them with their eyes like this, hard and fast asleep. They are at arrest. They can't do anything. Because they're not out in darkness. But as quick as you get out of here, then you'll be out of the prison. And the darkness will come and you'll begin to roam. You know that some people in the world, they never ought ever sleep at night. They roam all night long. Children of the night. But there are other people that won't do that. They'll work in the daytime and they'll sleep at night. So, I said that to say this. I don't have any enemies. Because I've turned them all into friends to the extent that I'm not going to bother with them. I'm not going to hate them. I'm not going to be bitter toward them. You know, you have to have, for a chain, both links has got to hook together. And I just don't hook up with them at all. I don't have any fellowship with them or with the devil. I bless them that curse me. I try to do good to them that do evil to me and try to go on my way so that I can worship God. And I love to be in the house of God. And I love to follow God. And I don't have my mind on my belly and on eating and drinking and the frolics of the world. I have none of that. A lot of people are miserable trying to serve God because they are continually pressing, fighting because of their carnal mind, their desire for passions, and their hunger and thirst for the things of the world. And it is a miserable life for them because they don't have that hunger and thirst and that delight, that inward delight of just being overwhelmed with the things of God and swallowed up by the things of God. They don't want that. They'd rather have a dope, drink, frolic, passion, gossip, backbite, ride, holler, laugh, all of the frolics of the world. That's what they are. That's what they do. And the child is known by his doing. And when they come here, they don't come here to get salvation. God didn't bring them here for that purpose. He brought them here to where they'd have opportunity, so that in the day of judgment he'd be just. But he knows their evil heart. He brought them here for one reason, and that's to bring judgment upon them. That once they know, then they leave this area of light, then they go back into the world, and the devils and demons can kill them at any time, and God will be rid of them, and they won't be causing his people problems. And the sooner that he does it at an early age, as young folk, to kill them out as young people, to get rid of them, the quicker he does that, the better it will be for his people and the youth that would come to God if they had opportunity. So he just brings them here to give them a knowledge that they might be guilty so he can destroy them. Them that are the elect, that love the Lord, that's trying to find the right thing, he brings them here to give them a chance for salvation because he's going to save them. He's going to wash them. He's going to make them clean. The others, the old sow will go back to her wallowing in the mire after she's been washed. Same old filth. And the man, he'll go back to lap his vomit as the dog that he is because he's not a child of God. All right, let's stand together. In the world, they say, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. You love the Lord? Let's stand together. You love the Lord? Let's stand together. Worship the Lord for just a few minutes. Then we'll let you go on your way. Used to have a song, to each his own. Whatever belongs to you as to that you're called to be in the world, so you are, and so you shall be throughout eternity. Whether good or bad, whether elect, or whether you be the rejected, to each his own. Soon you'll go your way again. Try not to have a reservation of heart. Get rid of your reservation of heart. You may be ever so religious, still having all kind of problems. The reason? Someone said, well, I'm just suffering for God. Absolutely not. That's a lie of Satan. That's a lying spirit. God has no pleasure in death nor in your suffering. The only suffering that God has any pleasure in is when you suffer to the extent that you're willing to deny your belly and give another man your sandwich or your food. Or when you're willing to take of that which is yours and give to someone else. Thank you, little man. Had to look again, see this Andy. Okay, we've got an invitation that says, please come. Made mention of this to my wife the other night. Says that Kenny and Michelle, I think her name is Michelle. They're going to get married the afternoon, and they want us to come. This is at Brother Dokes' house right across the street. And they've got here 3:30. Is that right? 3:30. So they are announced, says everybody's invited to the wedding. Please come. Welcome to come. Go to the wedding. God has a reason for everything. Brother James and them has been here for a good little bit with us now, worshiping the Lord and helping us, working with us. Their daughter's fixing to marry. Kenny has come up as a boy here. Always been a fine person. The girl seems to be a fine person, been around as long as she has. And I trust that God will bless them, that their marriage will be blessed of the Lord, and that they'll have a lot of happy years together if Jesus should tarry.
marriage is once and for all. That's one thing we need to remember. We're in a sinful, adulterous generation now. And you meet a man, you don't know how many wives he's had. And you meet a woman, you don't know how many husbands she's had. Jesus met that one at the well. There's about so many of them. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be one, just one. And I admit that a child of God, whether man to the woman, woman to the man, cannot continue to live with the children of the devil. I know that. Jesus said that one is not even under bondage in such case, because I've not bound darkness to light. You might have bonded yourself together with that, in that you did it in commitment by saying, I will or I do. But as I've said, if the unbelieving be pleased to dwell with the believing, as long as they don't abuse them, mistreat them, or whatever, try to keep them from God, then the Bible said, dwell with them. They may be won over by your conversation, your chaste conversation coupled with fear as you live with them. But if they're brutal and they're not going to do right, not going to live right, and they forbid you, then you don't need to live with them. You need to get away from them. You don't need to run off and marry again. You need to just sit tight and God let them marry again, or he'll burn their fields and set you free, and you can go right on having your life. He'll work it out for you. But just being an adulterer, marrying and remarrying and remarrying just because you can't control the passions, that's no good. That's what the beasts are, people that cannot control their passions. This is where you differentiate as between sons of God and beasts. Daughters of the Lord are beasts. And those that have no control over their passions or their human desires, to their ego, as to gullible desire, as to wanting to be, you know, want to be famous, want to be a businessman, want to be a celebrity, want to be some kind of a, whatever it might be, the woman she wants to be, have some kind of career. See, those things, you have to differentiate right there. Those people that want to do that are beasts, and they belong to the world. People that want to follow God and give all of that up, a reservation of heart, as to nothing. To give it all up, that's the sons and daughters of God. And they have an ability to control their minds, their passions, their human desires, as to the gullible desire of the world. They have an ability to control themselves. That's the point. The fine line is to the differentiation. Your mind, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Your mind, that's the determining factor right there. So then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but didn't try to make of himself a reputation. Become humble as a servant, even unto death. Right, let's sing a little chorus. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven, Dover rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. The altars are open. I need
I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. Come back to your heart once again, so let him in to stay. For oh, how you need him just to plead your cause. Oh, come and listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Can you sing it again? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many has come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Amazing grace, how that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. And how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And then this battle is over. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new wear a crown, I'll wear a crown. Shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown, we'll wear a bright and shining crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear that crown, we'll wear that crown, we'll wear that bright and shine. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. I'm gonna wear a crown. When this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You believe that? Somebody say hallelujah. I really feel the liberty of the Lord. The Bible said where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. And I can feel the liberty of the Lord, not only in my spirit, but I can feel the liberty of the Lord in your spirit. The Bible said the anointing would break the yoke. And I can tell the yoke's broken off of you. I can feel the liberty in your life. Don't that make you happy? You know, you can go about through the day feeling good, having a confidence in God because you feel that perfect liberty in the Lord. The liberty of the children of God. The world doesn't have that liberty. They're bound with evil spirits. They're bound with oppression, bound with sicknesses, problems, troubles. But I can tell in your heart you've got a liberty. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can tell the liberty's there. Feel it, Brother Thomas. I can feel it there. Somebody say hallelujah again. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came. Saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came. Saved my soul, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came. He saved my soul. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be alright. How many of you believe everything's gonna be alright? Raise your hand if you really believe it now. I said the other day, I think it is a disgrace to God and I think it's an insult to God for you and I not to accept the fact that everything's going to be all right when He went to such great means and measures to spilled the blood at Calvary to make everything to be all right. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Not only in the past has it done it, but for the future it's going to do it. Somebody say hallelujah. So then everything's going to be all right. Isn't that right? Come on, folks. Do you believe that? Are you thinking in that direction? Are you looking toward that? Are you looking toward a happy day, a better day, a good day? Sure, they say have a good day. How could I have anything else? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. He made it that way. Can you sing that again? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Believe it now. Came and saved my soul. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came, saved my soul. You know, Kenny and Michelle's getting married today. And the good thing for them to remember when they go to get married that everything's going to be all right. But they're going to get a lot of experience. Let's give the Lord another hand. Let's sing that one more time, can you? A whole lifetime of experience. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Hallelujah. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him when the sun's going down. Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love. I want to love Him when the sun's going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down on me. So let me praise him in the morning, praise Him at the noontime. Praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love. Can you give Him a wave offering? Love Him in the morning and love Him at... Don't you just love Him? Don't you just love Him? It's so sweet to love Jesus. You can feel the love coming back to you. David said, O Lord, Thy love is greater than women, speaking to a man. And to the women, it's greater than man, speaking to the woman. Try loving Him. Fall in love with Jesus. That's the one to love. Why, you've never had any love. Never had love like Jesus. True love. Lasting love. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in. Let us praise Him. Praise Him when... Can you sing it one more time with me? Oh, let us love Him. Love Him. Love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. Love Him. Yeah. Love Him. love him? Let's lift our hands up together if you love him. Remember, he's with you, beloved friend. He's with you. He's with you all the way. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. Them words ring in my ears, even as when the vision came and the angel stood there, or when the Lord stood there. I'll never leave you. The Bible has said, I'll never leave you, Jesus said. I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And Father, I've not prayed for the world, he said, but I prayed for these that you have given me, and I've not lost to one of them. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, well, he had a whole bunch of them when he started, but when he got through, he didn't have very many. No, he doesn't work like that. He doesn't work like that. The same amount he had when he started, that's the amount he had when he finished. So don't, not any of you that has to worry. Like the little song we wrote, in that city where there's room for us all. You love the Lord? Why you've got your hands up? Why you've got your eyes closed? Hallelujah. Just close our eyes and lift our hands. Let me sing that little chorus, why you got your eyes closed. Can't remember the verses or whatever, but I remember the chorus. Give me a key, friend.
Just over the rainbow, God's bridge of mercy, there's a place where the streets are pure gold. In that beauty, oh garden, where we'll live forever, in that city where there's room for.
Can you sing one more time?
Just over the rainbow, God's bridge of mercy, there's a place where the streets are pure gold. In that beauty, a garden, live forever. In that city where there's room for us all.
Sometimes we get to thinking that there's not enough room for all of us, that some of us are going to fall by the wayside, and we say, I'm afraid mama won't be there, daddy won't be there. Brother, sister, wife, loved ones. But that's the way it is. And this is the way it goes.
Just over the rainbow, it's God's bridge of mercy. There's a place where the streets are pure gold. In that beautiful garden, we'll live forever. In that city where there's room for us all.
Let's just lift our hands, close our eyes. Let's remember the wonderful things of Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Denny McLean to come and dismiss the service this morning. While we're standing here with our hands up and our eyes closed, while he's praying, I want you to examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. I want you to consider, are you really, really part of those people that's going to be in that beautiful city? May God bless you this morning and watch over you. You're my children in the Lord, and we're concerned about you.